Our verse today from our verses of the year that someone suggested was Isaiah 43:5. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. All right, so why should you never trust stairs? Because they're always up to something. Why did the kid throw his clock out the window? Because he wanted to see time fly. And then, which bird has the worst manners? Mockingbirds. All right, on that note, last week, Paul talked about the gospel and talked about Gospel Plus and how he is the example for which we are to follow in the gospel and in the way that we live our lives. And in this week, he expands on that. And he says that while you should follow his example, he himself has not reached perfection. And so though perfection is the goal, even Paul himself is not perfect in any way, shape, or form. And so we follow his example as he follows the example of Christ. But his example is still imperfect because he is still a sinful human being. So let's read. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 12. We're going to finish off chapter 3 and go into the first verse of chapter 4. As you know, the verses and the chapters were added on later. And so chapter 4, verse 1 actually goes with our section today. Beginning in verse 12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power which he will bring everything under his control. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Philippians 3:12-4:1. So Paul is telling us again, he's not perfect. He hasn't arrived, so to speak. We have a tendency to think of Paul as this perfect person. He wrote the scriptures. He's an apostle. He met Jesus face to face. But Paul says, hold on. I am not perfect. I am striving for perfection, but I have not reached it yet. He doesn't want them to see him as a perfect human being because perfection is something that is unattainable, something that we cannot reach this side of eternity. So he wants to dispel that perfection myth right off the bat. He still holds his life as an example for us to follow, but it's an example of someone who's striving to live life right, not someone who has arrived, so to speak. He acknowledges that he doesn't have it perfect yet, and that will only happen on the other side of death. He himself is striving for perfection, which is to say that he is striving to live a life worthy of the calling of the gospel of Christ, which is what he said all along in Philippians, that that is the life we're supposed to live, the life worthy of the calling that God has placed on our lives. He is living that life with his whole mind, body, spirit, and soul. And he wants us to imitate him in that way. So as he goes into this passage, he again goes back to war imagery and athletic imagery to drive home his points. And in verse 12, he says that Christ took hold of me. Christ took hold of him. He references back to that day on the road to Damascus when Jesus came to him and literally took hold of him and turned his life around. He was on the way to Damascus, ready to persecute Christians. Jesus came to him in a light, blinded him, and spoke to him and said, "Why do you persecute me? Why are you attacking me, Paul?" And his life was forever changed. Since that moment, he's never looked back. He's only looking forward. And he's only living for Christ. He's never stopped living for Christ since that moment. He fights relentlessly in his life to achieve the perfection that Christ has called him to by living his life in a way that Christ would be honored. But he says, "Hang on, guys, I'm not there yet. I haven't reached that perfection." He's forgotten his past, however. He's not living in the past. He's not beating himself up for the past mistakes that he's made, for the past sins that he's made, those before he was a Christian and those since he's become a Christian. He doesn't live in those pasts. He doesn't allow Satan to bring that up as guilt and shame. He focuses on the future. He uses running imagery in this case. Whereas a runner, if you're running a race, you don't take time to look behind you because you'll lose ground. You'll lose time. You may lose the race if you spend too much time looking behind you. Instead, you have to focus on what's ahead, focusing on the goal, the finish line. And that's what Paul is doing. He says, turning around only slows you down. Focus on the future. Don't focus on the past. Don't count on your past to win the race. You've got to keep fighting. You've got to keep running. And keep striving for that perfection that God has called us to. He's focused on getting the prize. And the prize, of course, is Christ. And living with him for all eternity. And that's what he wants us to be focused on as well. Focusing on Christ. Focusing on what really matters in this life. And what really matters is living our lives in a way that brings honor and glory to Christ. So that on that day of judgment, we can be found pure and righteous and be with Christ for all eternity. He talks about the calling that has been placed on his life in verse 14. And the prize that comes as a result of that call. And that prize, again, is eternal life with Christ. The race is to be run, the focus is to be set, and there is a prize to be won. And that's what he wants them to focus on. Paul has not won the prize yet, but he sees it in his future, and it's a future that we can all share in with Paul if we join him in running the race. Verse 15 talks about all of those who are spiritually mature should agree on such things. The Greek word is actually perfect. Now, Paul just said that he's not perfect, but here he's talking about perfect Christians. And it's not that he's saying perfection is something that can be attained, but he really, as the New Living Translation, carries the idea of spiritually mature. And so it's not the idea of being perfect, it's the idea of being spiritually mature. Mature people are following Christ, and they will know that perfection is something that cannot be attained this side of eternity. Yet being spiritually mature is a form of perfection, if you will, because you're relying on Christ for all things instead of relying on yourself. So being spiritually mature means that you can discern between the worldly follies and the wisdom of Christ. You can see the devil's lies versus the gospel truth which Paul has preached and proclaimed. Of course, the danger in this is that if you get to a point where you say, "I can do this, I can always discern the devil's lies and the spiritual truths," you're really deceiving yourself with that false sense of pride and humility. Because even Paul says he can't do that all the time. And if Paul can't do that all the time, who are we to say that we can do that all of the time? There has to be a humility. There has to be an acknowledgement that we have not arrived, and we will never arrive to a point where we can 100% of the time discern what we need to discern. But that doesn't stop us from making that our goal and trying to achieve that goal that God has called before us. Paul's life is our example. And as our example, we should also model his humility that he shows here in this passage. He says in verse 15 that if you disagree with Paul on these gospel matters or these other matters, he will pray that the Lord will make it clear to you. He leaves the convincing in God's hands. He's not going to debate you on these fine points of doctrine. He's not going to try to convince you. He's going to allow the Lord to do that. He knows that if a person's heart has turned away from the truth, only Christ can bring that person back. We can confront in love and we can pray for the person, but only Jesus has the power to turn someone's heart. And in verse 16, he reminds them to hold on to the progress they have already made. He doesn't want them to backslide. He doesn't want them to fall away. He wants them to keep moving forward. And remember last week, those Judaizers that are going to come in and they're going to try to get them to look back and say, no, you must do all of these things in order to be saved. He wants them to remember, you are saved. You have believed the true gospel. You have made Christ your Savior. Therefore, you are saved. You are working toward that salvation. Don't lose that. Stay focused. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing on for the goal of reaching Christ. Keep focused on the end game. And he says that when he thinks of those people that have fallen away, it brings tears to his eyes because they are headed for destruction. Their stomach has become their god. They brag about shameful things. They think only of things on earth. Guys, these are all social sins. And these social sins mean that they're bringing people along with them as they're doing these things. They're not individualized. They're saying, come on, come along with me as we do these sins. And that is breaking the unity of the church. The unity that Paul says is so essential for the Philippians. Focusing on the things of this world and the things of the flesh serves to break the unity in Christ. Focusing on these things weakens the bond that they shared in the gospel. It dissolves the unity that is grounded in Christ and the gospel, and it replaces it with selfishness and idolatry. These people have lost sight of what is important, and they're focusing only on the pleasures of the flesh. They don't concern themselves anymore with heavenly matters. They don't concern themselves with running the race, trying to attain perfection. They're only focused on the trivial earthly matters and the lust of the flesh. And Paul says, don't be like these people because they are headed for destruction. Keep your eyes, church, on what matters, and that is following Christ. Don't get distracted from the real prize. Don't get distracted by the shiny objects on the side. Don't be like that cartoon character, Squirrel! Gets distracted every time a squirrel runs by. Don't be like that. Focus on the prize. Focus on the things that matter. He says that those who lose their focus are doomed. They will not share in the glory of the Lord. So keep your eyes on the prize. Follow my example, Paul says. Stay focused on Christ. Don't focus on those earthly things. Focus on the heavenly realm. In fact, he calls those who focus on the heavenly realm citizens of heaven. This is the only time Paul uses the word citizen. And the Philippians were proud Roman citizens. But now Paul calls on them to recognize that their greatest calling is not the calling that Caesar has made on their lives, but it is rather the calling that God has placed on their life. Their Roman citizenship is a source of pride for them. But that pride will lead to destruction. Pride in that citizenship will lead them down the worldly path. Just as if our citizenship, our primary citizenship, we believe, is found in our calling of our country. That will lead us down the path of pride and destruction. Our primary calling is to be a citizen of heaven. Focusing on our heavenly citizenship shifts our gaze from ourselves, shifts our gaze from the things of the world and focuses it totally and completely upon Christ. And he tells them up front, hey guys, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be tribulations. But just like I have, speaking as Paul, just like these others have that I've explained to you in the previous chapters, you will endure by keeping your focus on Christ. Paul offers himself and others as examples, and they're there to imitate him just as he imitates Christ. Those who are truly imitating Christ are waiting for Christ's return. They know that when Christ returns, he will restore everything back to the way that it was. And as a follower of Christ, as a citizen of heaven, you will have a place in God's eternal kingdom. In that glorious day, our weaknesses will be no more. Our bodies will be in perfect form, free from sin, free from defect. We will share in the perfection of Christ's original creation and be made new in him. Therefore, because of all these things, Paul says, stay true to the Lord. Remain strong, remain steadfast. Don't be pulled away by these distractions. Don't be tempted. Don't be twisted by these lies and these tantalizing things that are coming to you from the enemy. Don't allow yourself to be tricked into putting something ahead of Christ. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep focused on the goal, which is to be with Jesus forever. The Philippian church is truly Paul's joy and crown, but he knows that that joy pales in comparison to the joy that he will feel and have when he's face to face with Jesus after he has been faithful. He urges the Philippians to focus on that same thing, to focus on what's ahead, because as Paul says, this future that he is striving for, this perfection that will be found only when you're face to face with Jesus, is not just something reserved for Paul. It's something that we all can have a share in when we put Jesus first. By focusing on what's ahead, you'll have the spiritual vision to know what needs to be done in the moment to further the gospel message. And so this passage that we have just gone through speaks to those who want to add to the gospel plus. But it also speaks to those who think that a believer will no longer stumble into sin once he or she has become a believer. It also speaks to those who think that as a believer we have freedom to do whatever we want. Both extremes are addressed in this passage by Paul. And instead of focusing on the earthly, fleshly things, the pleasures of the flesh, we need to be concerned with the heavenly things, focused on the future glory. And by focusing on Christ and the gospel, we can protect ourselves from falling away, from being pulled into those other areas. Paul's focus is Christ and Christ alone, and that is what we imitate of Paul. Our focus should be Christ and Christ alone. That assures him that the glory will come to him and to those who follow him. If you're struggling to know what to do in your life, or what to not do, or struggling with rules and regulations, either that have been put on by other people or by put on yourself, we have to recognize that our freedom comes in following Christ wholeheartedly. Instead of filling your heart with the things of this world, fill your heart and your mind with Scripture and with a relationship with Jesus, instead of these temporal matters of the flesh. That is how you win the race. That is how you achieve the victory found only in Christ. One side note on this passage is that Paul says you shouldn't expect all believers to be spiritually mature. He says it's a process. And that when you come up against a believer who's not spiritually mature, it's best to leave them to God, to let God sort it out. Because if you don't, you're going to cause division in the church. Clearly, he said, if the gospel is on the line, if the gospel is being perverted, if there's gospel plus teaching going on, then absolutely must be confronted. But some of these lesser matters need to be left to the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. Unity in the church can be achieved by loving one another, forgiving one another, comforting one another, understanding one another. So instead of fighting over these small things, we should unite and celebrate over the true gospel message. And our hearts should be focused solely on Christ. Because when we focus on Christ, all those other insignificant things start to fall away. We will never attain sinlessness in this life. There is always going to be sin. But when we choose to follow Christ, the sin will start to fade away and take less of a hold on our lives. The focus of our lives should be on what's ahead of us. And that is the glorification in Christ. So instead of looking backwards as we run, instead of looking to the sides as we run, we need to keep our gaze forward, solidly, on Christ. And that's the question I leave you with today. Where is your gaze? What are you looking at in life? What are you focusing on life? Where is your attention in life? Are you staring with laser focus on Christ? Because that's what Paul is calling us to do. Or are there other things that are distracting you and keeping you from fulfilling the calling that Jesus has made on your life? We need to keep our eyes on Christ, our eyes on the prize, to run the race that Paul has run, so that we might receive the eternal crown of victory, found only when we see Jesus face to face.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.